Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson. The Good Oil for Cobram Estate. Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil. Grown, harvested and first cold pressed in northern Victoria.
Well, I opened a premium bottle of the Cobram Estate over the weekend. Where's the stuff you missed out on? Tickety-boo.
How come I missed out on it?
Because you left. You left too early.
I didn't
you
leave
did.
Too
you
early.
Left, you left too early and you forgot to take
it. No, you hid it.
Tomorrow we're doing the rabbit hole.
I've got the CCTV vision of it.
And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about in terms of our travel over the weekend. We don't really want to be too self-indulgent here and talk about it. But we will be self-indulgent on the rabbit hole and talk about it. So don't worry about that. Fellas, please address the elephant in the room. Gary's been twirling a blue four-pen on the little show for years. We've now come along with a hot pink four-pen on the tiny show. Is this a power play? That's Chris from Point Cook. Unbelievably observant of you and well picked up. I actually gave him the pink four-penner. Did I not?
You did.
I had a spare one in my bag and I gave it to him. You've been using it on the tiny show.
I did the other night, but I can't find it. I don't know. I've misplaced it. So,
okay, let's.
I may not revisit it.
Straighten up here. This story was broken on Saturday, I think, maybe. Phil Cracker leading a class action brought by several former players, including his brother Jimmy, who alleged the AFL failed to protect them from racial abuse on and off the field over several decades. Statement of claims being lodged in court alleging Kevin Sheedy, Terry Danaher, Rod Austin, Billy Duckworth, Wayne Johnson were among those who targeted the Cracker brothers. It's listed for initial administrative hearing on March 13th. Now, you were there at this time. You were right there in the middle of it, so I have no questions other than to say, did you ever? It's alleged that Kevin Sheedy told his players to of which you were one, to target the Cracker brothers with this alleged abuse or racism.
Okay.
What say you?
Can I just begin this?
I'm paraphrasing as best I can.
I get it. Can I just begin the conversation by saying that I've got great empathy and sympathy for anybody that's ever been vilified.
Yes.
Anybody, right? But I have to say, with my hand on my heart, I never ever heard Kevin Sheedy in a meeting say to players to go out and racially vilify anybody to try and get under their skin and get some sort of competitive advantage. I never, ever heard him say that, ever, ever. And I was in every meeting. I was hanging on his every word. I never, ever heard him say that to the players. Ever.
Right.
Categorically ever. And further to that, I don't think there's been anyone in the history of our game and in Australian sport who's actually ever done more
for championed the cause.
And is genuinely passionate about Indigenous players, their place in the game, the fact that we needed to have more Indigenous players, they needed to be encouraged, they needed to be nurtured. He went out of his way to learn more about the culture of Indigenous players. He's been picking Indigenous teams of the century, all sorts of things.
Writing a book.
Dreamtime at the G game. So, I mean, that's sort of one side of it. That's the bloke himself. He's very authentic about that. But the issue itself, I have to say, just didn't happen. It didn't occur.
Which is not to say racism didn't happen, and of which
I've
put my hand up over for the last 20 years and said this and apologised profusely and educated myself in the process. So you're not talking for any of the players or anything else that went on field, because you're talking from the allegation that he... Now, he is alleged to have said to one of the Cracker Boys, might have been Phil, might have been Jimmy, at some function, that he instructed his players to get under their skin. Now, whether or not... I don't know whether that's the genesis of this action, how specific he was at that function, whether he said, we said to get under your skin by racially abusing you, or something else.
No, he would encourage players to niggle and do what... Like, he said some brutal things. He's no wallflower, Kevin Sheedy.
That's
but
right.
In terms of the issue of racism and instructing players to go out there and say something racist to get that under their skin, I never heard him say that in any address. And he would talk for, like, you know, like our pre-game might go for an hour, might go for longer than that. So he'd have a million issues up on the board. I mean, that was never one of those issues. But, like, he'd tell players to go out there and be as physical as you possibly can to the point of brutality. Like, that was part of it, yes.
Yep.
And it might have been, you know, get under their skin, you know, pinch it. Like, it's anything to try and get some sort of competitive advantage. But never, ever did I hear him say anything about race as an instruction to players when they went out there to try and get under somebody's skin.
Right.
Ever.
Okay, so that's definitive. And then the rest will play out however it will play out. But
I can't say with my hand on the heart that, you know, other players didn't say things to players.
No, we know.
I can't, because I can't hear everything that's going on the field, and you can't hear everything that's going on the field, and you know as well as I do that things happened out there. I heard some shameful things said by players to some of our players out there on the field.
That's right.
And I would hope that all those people that said those things are far more educated and understanding than what they've ever been. And if they get the opportunity to even apologise to those players that they did direct racial comments to.
100%. And the education process has, I can speak from first hand, from an AFL point of view, has been profound for me and others, I would imagine. But it's not to say it's been stamped out completely, because there will continue to be issues. I'm looking up at the Today Show right now, and they're talking about a racial abuse incident that came out of the Las Vegas game. So these things will continue to happen, but thankfully they're
called out now.
They are called out and dealt with, and they're much less, which is not to say it makes it easier for those that have suffered in the past. So again, it's instructional from your point of view, a man that, you know, had Kevin Sheedy for, I don't know, 20 years as a coach.
14 years, I had him.
And you never once heard that. So,
and I can imagine this would hurt. This would really hurt as much as anything that's ever been said about him.
Yep.
This probably hurts him and cuts him to the core as much as anything, because that is just not who he is.
Yep.
Not who he is.
Righto. I think that's pretty unequivocal. And we need to get that out and on the record. We can move on to some footy from the weekend. Just with Laura Kane last night. And you haven't seen this. So with she was fantastic. We weren't trying to trip her up, but we had questions for her and she just answered them, knocked them all out of the park. The only one that I thought was a little bit questionable was this George Hewitt, the strike on Lachie Neal. He ended up being fined rather than suspended. I asked her why.
The important shift that we've been talking about in the off-season is that push for space or the striking action off the ball, not around the contest. So that rule change was focused on when you're trying to get space, say 20, 30 metres off the ball and you're causing an injury, we would grade it as intentional, which would trigger the week around the stoppage, around the contest. There's a careless nature to the contest that's right in front of them.
So I did say that that was dealing in semantics. So the intentional, the difference between off the ball and then standing, waiting for a ball up or something, is the difference between being suspended or not. A strike to the head's a strike to the head, Wisp. And in this environment, they had an opportunity to make a stand, make a statement. Okay, you might have thought it was really harsh. Well, bad luck. Make that statement, send a message to the rest of the comp.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. A lot of good feedback coming through about that interview that you conducted with her last night on your little show too. On marking contests and knee to the head, I mean, you know, there's been a lot of, well, I won't say a lot of conversation. There's been conversation around this because of the head trauma and the knocks and the concussion, that type of thing. How far are we going to go? This is what she had to say about ruling this out in marking contests.
We want the game to be safe, but we don't want to remove the key elements of the game. It's much like our approach to smothers. It's much like our approach to run down tackles. Marking contests are really important parts of our game. They create some of the best highlights, some of the best moments. We award one. We award the best mark for the year. We don't want to see that loss to the game. We just want the game to be as safe as possible. It is a full contact sport. So we understand that.
That's an acceptable byproduct of the way we play our game.
That's right.
So that was a pretty unequivocal answer to that. So we're still going to be allowed to fly for your marks, you know, in the manner that we've seen for 100 years. And if you accidentally knee someone in the head in the process, then that's just something we have to accept.
That's right.
Are you happy with that?
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy with that. I think in all this discussion, we still have to understand that things will happen out there on the football field that are just accidental and are caused by players. Desire to win the ball in the air or win the ball on the ground or win the ball in a contest. I think we have to accept that. Otherwise, our game is fundamentally changed forever.
Indeed.
If we don't accept that those things can happen out there and the game of football can be dangerous at times and we do need to be careful, what we need to do is, as she said, we need to structure the rules. We need to massage the rules as best we can to protect the head, but things will still happen.
Hey, we've got so many things we need to talk about from the weekend and we want you involved as well, but we also have got a little situation here. We're back-to-back interviews with Nick Dacos and Christian Petrarca, so timings are everything for these boys. They're busy and we obviously want to have a chat with them. So we're going to take an early break. We'll talk to Nick Dacos, and then after 7:30 we'll talk to Christian Petrarca, and then the show will be handed over to you and you can have your say in all of these different issues that we need to talk about. But a break, and Nick Dacos to join us on the other side.